Will be roll. All in order to be roll call.
I will say to Anguilla Indian, City of Life.
Here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella. Desert Healthcare District.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs. City of Indian Wells. City of Indio.
Present.
City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Palm Desert. City of Palm Springs. City of Rancho Mirage.
Present.
Versa County District 4. Torres Martinez Desert Community. Chair, we do not have a quorum.
Okay. We'll go forth with some of this stuff, and hopefully people will come in and we'll be able to get a quorum to go on with something that needs to be approved. A lot of the stuff that's on the agenda today is informational only. We do have the bus app that we'd like to have you go take a tour. Eric, I'll turn it over to you. Oh, let's do the pledge of allegiance.
Yes, thank you.
Let's do that. Eric, lead us in the pledge.
End of your heart, please. I
thought we do have a public comment. Person?
This is the end of the budget. I just wanted to give you an update of what we've been doing as an agency, Streetlight Projects. We continue to support the homeless, continue to go out and serve our friends in the streets. We did it all through COVID. We never stopped. And we've been getting people off the streets. So I'd like to encourage you guys to come out with us sometimes. Sometimes you're more than welcome to come on an outreach, and we'll take you out to the camps and show you what we're all about. Specifically, I wanted to talk about our Tiny Home Campus update. A lot of you guys have been around for quite a few years and know we've been trying to push that here in Valley. And we have been taking steps forward during this time. And we'd love for your participation. We'd love to include you guys in that plan and what we're doing moving forward, and have an opportunity to come and present it formally, finally, to show you guys what our intent is. We have a huge amount of impact in our valley for a fraction of what's typically being spent on addressing the situation. So I also wanted to let you know that we have been creating strategic partners along the way. Most recently, we partnered with educational services to provide adult education in our campuses. We call it Tiny Home Campuses and not Tiny Home Villages because we want to provide education. We want to get people their diplomas. We want to get people vocational training, the job skill set they can turn into employment. So anyways, like I said, we'd love to share it with you if given the opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Any questions or questions? Thank you.
Everybody,
yes.
Joanna, do we have any public comment
on this? Thank you much. Move on to chair committee and staff announcements. Mm-hmm.
Yes, just a couple items, a couple of logistical items. First of all, City Palm Desert has updated this building, so there is a restroom code should you need to step out. Just want to make you all aware of that. And I did want to take a minute, I'm sure Ivan will also in his presentation, in the audience today is most of our CV Housing First team. So I'll embarrass them and make them stand up so you can see our team, Panaro, Stephanie, Tamaris, Jeanette, and then Ivan, who is not standing, but right. hopefully you will all remember.
Welcome.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you for all you do.
Any committee comments?
Yeah, we've got one.
Okay.
Thank you. I've been on this committee since 2010, and this is going to be my last meeting. I'm going to pass it on to Councilmember Brendan Gregory. He's on the Public Safety Committee. He's been mayor. He's a really bright individual, and I asked him if he would take this on, because I think he really fulfilled the position adequately. But I'd like to say there's a lot of committees and commissions out there that the councils we all sit on, but I don't think there's a more important one than this homeless. When I first came on this committee, I thought homeless person was a homeless person, and that's it. But I never realized they were kids. They had parents. They had kids. They had family. I didn't know about the drugs. I didn't know about the alcohol. I didn't know about the mental problems they had. So this committee has really made me a better person when I see homeless now. And what this committee has done since we first got on here, John, I mean, I think you've been on with it as long as I have. This committee has gone leaps and bounds and has done really a lot. We could do more, of course. We got money from government, but that's always another issue. We'll get into that. But getting out there, working with our liaisons, we have a wonderful team, Officer Brooks and Powers, and I would travel with them. And when I was out there Monday with them, I heard his voice, I recognized, you know, and it was, he used to work for me almost 35 years ago. He was my bartender. And of course, alcohol and heroin, he was homeless. Trying to get him off the streets for 2 years we tried, and we finally did, and he died probably about a month later. So it is the feeling that here you try to help and try to help, but for whatever reason they don't respond was bad. So I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to be a part of this committee. And I'll miss it, but being I'll be appointed mayor December 13th, and I have a couple of projects I'd like to continue. We only get 1 year as mayor, so there's a lot I like to get done within that year. You know how hard that's going to be. But I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you and everything that all you all do out there too. It's been an honor. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for the invitation. I'm sure we'll be able to reach out to you whenever we need.
Absolutely.
You'll be around.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Well, thank you for sitting on this committee as well. So, any other comments?
I promise I'll be brief. First of all, thank everyone in this room for all you do and the folks online. Homelessness is definitely a collaborative effort, and it takes all of us. And I appreciate you like project because that's part of the mission. There's so many parts of this mission that we all have to tackle. There's so many different challenges out there. And I really want to implore folks, if you have the opportunity to go out with Street Life or any other outreach group, it's very, very educational, and it actually helps us make decisions on this committee, because there's things that we might read about or things that we might see on social media or TV that are false. And when you talk to folks face to face, you really get an idea of what's going on out there. And so I try to do it as much as I can when I'm out, whether it's in front of a store or if I'm out walking and talking. One of the challenges that we're facing now, Indio and other communities, and we see in our metropolitan city, is, and I brought it up during our public safety committee, is open-air substance abuse that's happening out there because of some of the challenges with fentanyl and alcohol. And it's an illness. It's an illness if you are using these substances in open public, in front of stores, where people can see you. Someone in their right mind, frame of mind, wouldn't do that. So we have to take a really initiative as well on the mental health part of it as well. And it brings me to what I want to share is we're opening our behavioral health clinic in Indio next month. And so I can tell the staff, I really like to invite everybody to come and see the services that are going to be available there to our community. It's going to be countywide, I believe it's public, private. However, we need to see what's in our community. And I also want to keep commending Martha Village and Televalley Rescue Mission on what they're doing there, you know, because we still don't have enough services. We might have enough for the Coachella Valley, but we're getting folks from outside of the valley, outside of the county, outside of the state. If you talk to these folks, a lot of folks are not local. So we do need that help from the state, federal government. So we need to continue to collaborate with our colleagues in those arenas. But I just wanted to share that we are opening that behavioral health clinic. So
yeah.
Thank you for your speakers.
Thank you. We want to note for the record that Denise has joined us, and we promise to get you out of here early for those of you who are attending the luncheon today. So we'll
one quick
yes.
one for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Make it brief. I joined this committee in 2016 and I was amazed that as long as this committee has been in operation, the city Black never stepped in to give their comments or participate. So when I was elected to council, I jumped in and I've been a active part of this committee for a few years now. I stepped away recently due to the loss of my wife, but I'm back and I'm back in with both feet. So don't forget about the City of Blythe because we need every resource available. I know that we sometimes burden Coachella Valley Rescue Mission or Martha's Kitchen, you know, because we have no facilities in Blythe. But hopefully in the very near future, this will happen. And I want to give a shout out to a nonprofit organization in Blythe, Peace from Chaos. They have been the advocates for the last couple of years for mental health, addiction, suicide. The three people on the board right now, they give out their cell phone numbers. They don't care. Call me anytime. So I commemorate and appreciate George Colangeli, his wife, Angela Colangeli, their daughter, Francis Camus. I mean, these people have taken it by the horns and have been running with it. So more to come in the future.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Can you put the name of the nonprofit?
It is Peace from Chaos. And the name came about by their son that committed suicide in October 2 years ago and reaching out for assistance prior to this happening was extremely difficult. So now they're a voice to be heard.
Thank you for sharing. And also, recently we had a member of the homeless community out in the desert, Arlene Rosenbaum, passed away. Mm. And I'd like to maybe adjourn our meeting today when we adjourn in her memory. She was a tireless advocate for the homeless, worked extremely hard. She had her own way of doing things, but she did them. And I've known Arlene for many, many, many years, and we're sorry to hear of her passing. So we will adjourn in her memory today. Okay, well, skip the consent calendar because we don't have a quorum yet, but we'll move on to discussion items. City Housing first.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to introduce me.
This is when you know you've worked with colleagues too long. Committee members, normally this is a consent item for you, and you may see that during our first year of operating this program in-house, we actually presented it every quarter, and the reason we have done it is consent. The reason we are presenting it today is because there are some trends that we want to be very transparent about that are becoming a challenge for us to get our permanent housing solutions. And so anticipating that this could continue to be a challenge, we want to make sure that you all are fully aware of what we're facing. And Ivan will go through this due to the lack of quorum. We won't take any sort of vote, but I do want you to be informed.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. So today I wanted to take you kind of through the staff report and highlight some of those things that were mentioned at the last meeting regarding vouchers. But before we get into a little bit of that, I wanted to kind of briefly review the numbers and kind of explain to you where we're at today. As probably many of you know, and have seen these numbers before, first year of the program, we housed 75 folks. Second year, we housed an additional 54. And then this year, we wanted to do an additional 65. Well, where are we at today? Today, we're at 46 of the 65. And you probably noted in your staff reports, if you reviewed them, you probably look at our quarter three numbers and say, well, that's the first single digit in our staff report in the program's history. And there's a reason for that. So probably realize that some of our program is heavily based on vouchers, and that was something that we really pressed on last committee meeting. But even at the start of the year, when we housed our first 24, the majority of those folks were all voucher-based housing. Followed by the second quarter, an additional 15, there was also, again, very heavily in voucher-based housing. Then, knowing and going into Q3, we already knew sometime in Q2 that there was going to be a scarcity of vouchers for any kind of housing. And so that is kind of the reason for our kind of our single-digit quarter. But again, highlighting some of the constraints have to be with vouchers, availability, and regards to units, there are no vouchers if there are no units. So we can't even get into discussion about availability when there's a scarcity of vouchers. And then obviously we already know affordability. So as of today, we're already in the middle, like half of the last quarter, we have a late start. We've only housed 3 so far. But in the end of Q3, it was communicated to us by the county that many several of our clients received referrals to go to these project-based sites or these vouchers that are connected to housing, but they're all out of the ballot. They're all going to Riverside. There's 2 different properties that are scheduled to open. One was is opening this month, and another is opening in December. So we have about 17 probably individual vouchers for individuals that are going to leave the ballot. And kind of what we're projected, again, if all pans out and everything works out accordingly, we'll end the quarter with an additional total 20. But that all depends on the properties opening on time. As we saw, I think, early this year in the staff report, Q1, we mentioned that one of the properties in Riverside named St. Michael's, that was like almost a 6-month delay. A delay after delay after delay, and it has to do with construction, inspections, etc. So we're starting to see a couple delays already this year. So we're hoping that if everything gets housed by before Christmas break, we'll end the quarter with above our goal of 65. That I close.
Questions, Ryan? Thank you.
No, I had a question.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The landlord incentive program, how is that going?
We haven't used it as much, and there's kind of a misunderstanding. There's vouchers that are a project-based site, but then there are vouchers that are called permanent supportive housing. And these types of vouchers, which we do quite a bit of, they're tied to a client who needs to go out and find an apartment of their own, kind of like Section 8. So what we noted a couple of homes committee meetings ago is that the vouchers do not meet the rent value. But as of the mid-year of this year, a lot of our vouchers are all project-based, so we don't have that issue. So yes, that side of the vouchers is decreasing alongside with the project-based site. We've just been more heavy this year with project-based site more than any year.
So
it's I was going to say, it was also my understanding too that the vouchers were out of the area.
That is correct. Yeah, those numbers that you saw in that last graph, I don't know if we can go back to that. That projected number is based on projects in Riverside.
Yes.
Those are not projects here in the Coachella Valley. And this is because the vouchers, in many cases, are when our clients are receiving a voucher, it's tied to a specific project.
Yeah.
And this is where the county is housing. And so when these doors are opening in other communities, we, along with other organizations, are putting our clients in, and so that is a trend we're concerned about, and it certainly is, as we were transparent earlier, this is part of the reason you saw such a large number in the first quarter, because doors were opening, and you all have been advocates at your city level, and hopefully we'll continue to be advocates. But then, as affordable housing opportunities open here in the Coachella Valley, we will try to maximize those in the same way. And if I could, just to kind of piggyback on this landlord incentive, we have not had as many opportunities as we would have hoped to use it. We have had a couple, and it wasn't as persuasive as it has proven in other communities, and per our earlier direction from you all, and certainly something our executive director has been watching very carefully. We may be coming back to you with some other recommendations.
Thank you.
I know I'm being a pet. The two questions. One of them, is there any kind of outreach for the to attract potential landlords? You know, some kind of a marketing tool.
Yes, we are. Our team is actively engaged in making relationships with landlords. The county actually had a contract for some time, and I'm not sure if they still do, where they also actually were trying to do landlord locators. It's something I can follow up with Greg on. He was able to attend today. He's on Zoom for in case we have technical questions on any of our items, but we can follow up and bring that back to you with a better understanding where the county's at. Mm-hmm. But that is something we've certainly tried to do and leveraging our partnership. You all have heard about our various partnerships and trying to use landlords that they're also using as well. But if you know of any, our clients are great tenants.
Well, and did you have a comment?
I was going to wait for you to finish.
Well, my second question then is, I know that in the past there's been funds to renovate, rehab buildings, homes that are maybe substandard in the areas. I'm just wondering, has that been a concern, any direction from the local cities that are doing that?
I believe she's referring to the Home Key Project.
I'm sorry?
I believe you're referring to the Home Key Project?
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't, I don't think, we've discussed about doing it ourselves.
Thanks. Yeah.
Since I haven't been around in a while and I'm playing catch up, what is your relationship with Coachella Valley Housing Coalition?
None. I have not sat or met with anyone over at the Housing Coalition.
If I set it up, would you be in?
Absolutely.
Okay. I happen to know the president, and I've worked with him for many years through the management company that I did affordable housing. I ran most of the properties here in Coachella Valley for a few years. So let me see if I can get a meeting set up, and I will get back to you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, guys. Any other questions or comments? Okay, if not, we'll move on to IB, which is the annual review of CBAC's legislative platform.
Chair, in the interest of time, and many of you are going to this luncheon, I want to just flag the legislative platform. In general, this is something that is going to committees as an informational item. The legislative platform is essentially identical to what has already been adopted by committees this past year. A couple of small technical changes. One, we're mirroring the legislative cycle and making it rather than calendar year, matching the legislative cycle. And kind of piggybacking on what you just heard, staff is anticipating including some language that is specific to vouchers and advocating for vouchers. We think there's probably already some wiggle room there in what was already existing, but we just want to be abundantly clear that the vouchers are concerned for CBAG and our member jurisdictions. So we won't take any action, but I would anticipate this moving forward to the executive committee in December.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, now we'll move on to the presentation, engaging the CBAG's CBAG's mobile access center. We'll have a brief presentation, and I don't know if you saw the mobile unit out here, so we can go to that if you want.
Yeah, after the meeting. Thank you, Chair. And just as a little bit of background, as noted in the staff report, we are going to be doing a series of these kind of deeper dives, as it were, on the aspects of our program for your all information and also for you to share with your fellow council members. The first is going to be our mobile access center. Our executive director has asked us to plan a tour to the one of our units, so you'll look for that early next year. And we're coordinating with the county to tour the navigation campus in the city of Palm Springs, which is under construction now and should be open early next year. So you will start seeing these on your agenda. First up is our mobile access center, or our MAC.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair, community members. It's probably been a while since we talked about the mobile access center, and you're probably hearing me call it the MAC. It's just easier for me to say. So what has the mobile access center looked like for us the past few years since we've had it?
I was one of the first ones to volunteer to drive this behemoth vehicle. Well, the mobile access center, MAC, allows us to really connect with the CV200 individuals throughout the valley, and a lot of them wants to connect with folks that are not in our CV200. But the unique thing about it is inhabiting and again connecting with folks is we're actually able to vet future CV200 individuals that aren't currently on our list. And we vet them, we make recommendations to your law enforcement agencies, your sheriff's department, your law enforcement, and we get them and say, hey, you know, these are folks that we've come across maybe the last year or so, we think they'd be good fits. But that is kind of the flexibility that we have with the mobile access center. The other aspect of the bus that it acts as a mobile office. We, I think originally when we received the bus, it was a full seated bus. We gutted probably 1,000 pounds worth of seats. This thing, you know, definitely lightened up. But it serves as an office. Clients are allowed to come inside the bus, especially during the summertime. We have the AC running. They would come in, sit down. We have a you know, hotspot. We have internet. You know, they're able to meet with our clinician. Pretty much, again, just like a mobile office. But because of the mobile access center, it's allowed us to build upon current relationships and establish new relationships. Most of you already know that Inman County Legal Services has been a huge partner of ours to help all of our clients receive vital documents, birth certificates, et cetera, anything needed for housing. Around this time last year, we partnered up with Jewish Family Services to have like once a Friday and go over and bring the bus over and visit a lot of their outreach clients. And again, continue vetting future CV200 clients, but then connect the folks at Jewish Family Services refers to us to connect them to our in-local county team. And then of course, our mobile access center and any outreach services are always scheduled and communicated over to each of your cities with law enforcement, court enforcement, and the sheriff's department. There's Panero in the city of Indio doing some outreach with one of our clients. And I think this was here in at Our Lady Waterloo Church in Palm Springs. With that, very briefly, I close.
Thank you.
And we do have it parked outside, and our team is here. So after we wrap up, we invite you to come out and look at it. And then ask any questions of our team or myself, would be happy to. Have you? Yes. I do not volunteer.
Is your schedule published where you
We share it with our partners. I wouldn't say we publish it widely. We share it with our partners, as I was mentioning to the chair, took a sneak peek earlier when he was coming in. Some of our outreach, and certainly our partners will tell you, some of our outreach isn't conducive to the MAC and some of the more remote areas. So that is, but it's all done in coordination with either the cities, code enforcement, or law.
Yeah, and once you get a chance to go out and check it out, it's very well equipped. There are certain things somebody might need, either socks or any kind of clothing, things like that. So it's very nice. Very nice. Okay. Yeah. Denise?
Is it is the MAC also used to transport? No.
No, I only have a Class C. So I think because of the weight limit on the vehicle, you have to have, I think I would need a Class B in order to transport it.
Yeah, council member, we do, you may recall, we did accept two vehicles from the county, surplus vehicles, so we needed to take clients to one of our units or anything. We often use our other CVAC vehicles.
Good.
That's
not the bus.
Yeah. My question then also is the county buses, do we also use them to transport some of these clients or residents or potential clients to any healthcare facilities if need be?
So your cities all contribute separately from your contribution to CD Housing First, contribute to the Allen Seaman Bus Pass program. So the answer is yes, we do use Sunline for buses. We do hand out bus passes to our clients as well as other programs clients. Frankly, there's a lot of really convenient options like Uber and Lyft that we're also known to use for our clients to make sure that they can get there if they have a specific appointment at a very specific time and we're not sure that the bus service is gonna be conducive to that. We do use that as an option.
Wonderful, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, with that, we will move on to our informational items. All the items listed there are for your information, attendance record. Are there any updates from ex officio members? Yes.
Good morning. I'm Angela Lucas, Elder Concern, Prosecutor Brief. Just wanted to give an update from our last meeting. Both funding still pending to be cut, and I'm hoping that it is as impactful as we believe it will be. But I also want to thank all the cities that did approve our grant applications for shelter from storm, and I contributed to our funding for this year that has been extremely helpful, and we are wholeheartedly appreciative. We are doing a fundraiser with Perfect Pint here in Mount Desert, where they have adopted us for the month of November, and they have created a flavor just called the storm. It's pistachio raspberry. So if you're in the area and you want to get some ice cream, please buy a pint of pistachio raspberry, and it'll support all the storm. But I did want to say thank you and wish you all the happiest of holidays. We are moving forward, we are still here, and we are committed to continue to be here and fight the good fight for those that need it the most. So thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the financial statements are closed for your information. Any public comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on to announcements. Our next meeting is going to be Wednesday, January 17th, 10 o'clock. And the next meeting of the executive committee will be on Monday, December 4th.
I would note that meeting is, the executive committee is being held at the Desert Regional Medical Center, which is on Indian Canyon. You may have seen some recent headlines.
What date again is that?
That's going to be December 4th.
Okay, with that, as I mentioned earlier, we will adjourn in the memory of Arlene Rosenthal. So we are adjourned.